Hi, everybody. This is Steve Savitsky, and welcome back to Savitsky Talks. And today, I have Heshi Zeltzer. Heshi is the CEO of Hakira, which is a periodical that comes out, and very interesting articles. And I read something which was really fascinating, and Heshi was kind enough to agree to come on the program. I appreciate it. Heshi, how are you today?
Good, very well. Thank you, Steve.
That's great. So you wrote a very interesting article about, you called it, Who Will Support the State of Israel? And it's something that I think about a lot, and as I travel to Israel and meet with political leaders in Israel, this is something that they're concerned about, very concerned. So let's first talk about why is it that Israel is actually losing its support in the most important diaspora group in the world, which is the United States. And, you know, maybe we're going to talk about some practical answers to that also.
Yeah, so basically, support for the state of Israel within the United States is really based on three factors. Number one is the will of the American public. So if the American public likes Israel and wants to support Israel, then the government should naturally follow. The second thing is that we have a good lobbying group, a good lobbying effort in the United States, primarily AIPAC is the one that's in the news, but also organizations like NORPAC and other PACs like them. And they consistently lobby Congress on behalf of the State of Israel. And the third is that the Jews are the largest non-Christian minority in the country, which sort of helps too. But the problem we're seeing lately is that all these three things are in jeopardy. In other words, the mood of the American people seems to be shifting, perhaps not drastically, but definitely a little bit away from supporting the State of Israel. And this is due because of organizations like BDS, which is a Muslim organization on campus, and they have offices in over 300 universities out of about 4,000. And helping them is really also the leftist professors, the politically leftist professors who seem to also be against Israel. And a lot of this is because of a Protestant ethic of supporting the underdog. So while Jews were being killed, it was sort of fashionable among the lefties to support Israel. But once now Israel is successful and flourishing, so now they're looking for others to support, and Israel is no longer the underdog.
Getting back to that point, it's interesting. When you go to Israel today and they talk about the David and Goliath, it's amazing how we've become, from being the underdog, we're the Goliath, and the Palestinians are the Davids.
That's correct. That's how they're trying to portray us. Mm-hmm. The third leg is really just demographic, and that is that it's projected by about the year 2050 that the Jews are not going to be the largest non-Christian minority in the country anymore. It's going to be the Muslims. And as that happens, you know, things will be harder and harder, and, you know, they will be able to sway elections in key areas. So that is, you know, important consideration as well.
Right. So when you look at the demographics, and, you know, this is something that concerns me greatly, and we look at, let's say, particularly the Orthodox Jewish world, the Torah world. So we look at the Torah world and we look at the different components, and I'm not a big believer in all the names that we give them, but when you talk about, let's say, the more Haredi groups, okay, generally speaking, they're not in the forefront of supporting Israel. Mostly. Of course, there are some that do, but generally speaking, they're not. So why is that? What's the reason that they have decided not to support the State of Israel so much?
Okay, I think, you know, you have to differentiate the different groups within Haredi Orthodoxy, and that is that you have groups like Neturei Karta, those that are very closely aligned with Satmar. They are just ideologically against the State of Israel. There's nothing really that can be done to change their minds or to get them to change. But they're only a very small minority of Haredi Orthodoxy. And a much, much larger group within Haredi Orthodoxy is, you know, what I call the practical Haredim. Practical Haredim are those who went to schools like Yeshiva Tovar Das, perhaps Chaim Berlin, where they're basically open to secular education, they're open to the State of Israel, they visit the State of Israel, they support it. But there is this feeling among even practical Haredim that to sort of come out openly and identify with the State of Israel, to fly the flag, to sing Atikva, these are all things that would sort of hurt their shidduch, so to speak. Okay, it would change their standing of the community. They'd be viewed as having the wrong values. When it came time to marry off their children, they'd be identified sort of as the wrong party. So there's like a psychological kind of barrier here. So despite the fact that they're pro-Israel, they want to see Israel survive, there's still this little psychological thing that has to be overcome.
So what do we do? Okay, so let's say that you call these people practical Haredim, okay, which is a new term, by the way. Did you coin that phrase, by the way?
It was just a term that I thought was appropriate because they're practical in their outlook both to the State of Israel. In other words, they want to see it prosper and do well. And they're practical in terms of secular education, which is, again, another red flag sort of within the Haredi world. But yet they send their children to university. It may not be Harvard, but it's definitely Touro or perhaps Brooklyn College. So these people, I think, are more open to, you know, wanting to support Israel. And it's not that we're trying so much to change anyone's philosophy about the State of Israel, but more to motivate those who already deep down believe that this is a value for us and we want to see Israel succeed and we want to protect their security.
So when you say that, you know, we want to get them to support Israel, do you want them to join the existing organizations like the APACs and the NORPACs? Or do you want them to really do something on their own, which is different?
I think sometimes we're surprised by the type of innovation that different people come up with once they're motivated. Absolutely, I'd like to see more people support APAC, more people support NORPAC. In the area of Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island, there's probably not a dozen people that contribute $10,000 a year to APAC among the among what we call practical Haredim. And this is, way too little. And there are people that give a lot more than this to many other charities, but they sort of don't think in terms of supporting Israel. And I think education is needed.
But doesn't it really start with education? In other words, if you go to many of the schools that we're talking about, so they'll never really talk that much about Israel. I'm not even talking about a Yom HaAtzmaut. I'm talking about in general, you know, talking about what's going on, what's happening in Israel, the geopolitical situation. They don't have speakers who are coming in who are involved in, let's say, the Israeli government and the foreign ministry, or have soldiers who come and talk about what it's like to live there and to be a soldier in Israel. What can we do about that?
I think you're absolutely right about it. It's not so much that the schools will speak against Israel, but that they totally ignore it. An incident from my own life when I was a little kid, maybe in the second, third grade. I was home one day and I overheard Shlomo Ben Yisrael, a Yiddish a person on WEBD radio, talk about Eretz Yisrael. And I went over to my mother and I said, "What is this? Did Mashiach come?" And, you know, she kind of giggled and sort of explained it to me. But, I've been in yeshiva already a few years as a little kid, and it was just never mentioned. It was mentioned that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, and it was destroyed, and one day Mashiach will come. But the fact that Israel existed was never mentioned. So this is a big problem.
So could we bifurcate the feelings that people have to have about Israel to whether the practical Haredim or practical people say, look, we love Israel in the sense that it's a Jewish state. Jewish people live there. We should be supporting it, and we should be lobbying and doing other things for that. We don't always have to agree ideologically with every single administration in Israel. How do we bifurcate those things?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think one way is to stage events that maybe do away with some of the symbols that they've, you know, sort of are afraid of. Maybe, you know, it's not necessarily necessary to fly the Israeli flag when there's an assembly. Maybe it's not necessary to sing Hatikva. But really just to get people, you know, in a comfortable environment that's not threatening them, phrase it, for example, as Hakara Satov, Tokodesh Baruch Hu, for the State of Israel, which is really what we're doing here. And get them more comfortable into this mode. Another thing we were thinking about is really to take some of the practical Haredi lay leaders in the community and really educate them about what is going on in Israel in terms of defense, in terms of their support by the United States and what's involved and how these things happen. And one way is to really just take these same people and bring them to Israel and have a meet with people in the defense, members of Knesset, and to explain them what these things are all about and what needs to do and what Israel needs.
So I know you talked about starting an organization. Is it going to be a formal organization that is actually going to, the mission statement is to help garner support for Israel with this group of people who are now, you know, if you look at the Torah world, look, thank God the Torah world is growing. And that's why even when you talked about the numbers of 2050, oh, we're going to be the smallest, you know, we won't be as big as the Muslim population. I'm not so sure about that because, Baruch Hashem, our communities are growing really, really very, very nicely. And we get married younger, we have many children. I'm not that pessimistic about it, but I do think that we have to do something to make sure that in the fastest growing part of the world, of the Torah world, which is more the Haredi type of world, we've got to find ways of getting them interested in helping and supporting the state of Israel. So tell me about, are you thinking of forming an organization? Have you formed one? What have you done?
We've been actually going around to different Jewish organizations to get their advice. In other words, how do you think we should structure this? Who do we need to reach out to? Who are the people we should be approaching? And what are the different ways of doing this? And what we're seeing is I think, a twofold effort. Number one is we need a grassroots effort whereby we get one or two people in every shul or shtibel to sort of be a contact person there, to be the people that will rally the others. And then to have really, you know, get-togethers where these people can speak to the people in their shul, and we would have advertising to tell people about it, and really get these people together and have them being addressed by perhaps someone from AIPAC or other Jewish organizations to really just educate them in this. I just want to give you one little statistics to underline the importance of Haredim getting involved in this, and that is that the Orthodox Jewish population in the United States has been adding 5,000 Jews a year, whereas the non-Orthodox have been losing 10,000 Jews a year. So that just, you know, all the more stress right. is why it's important for Haredim to get involved.
Oh, no, it definitely is important. And this is definitely something, by the way, that, you know, is on the radar of the Israeli government. Have you ever spoken to anyone in Israel about perhaps even getting some funding or something? Because I know this is something I've met with people in the foreign ministry who have told me this is a big issue that they have, and they want to know, because they're nervous about where the support going to come from in 10, 15 years.
Well, we have had a preliminary discussion with one of Sharansky's aides about this, and they were very enthusiastic about this project. In terms of support, I think we have lined up, you know, the people who are willing to put in the seed money for this.
That's great.
So
That's
we don't great. See that as being a problem.
Do you have a name for the organization yet, by the way? Have you come up
No,
with that?
No, not yet. Not yet. We're hoping within a month or two to firm this up. We want to come up with a budget. We'll, of course, form a corporation and the website. But we want to do this in a more formal way so that we know what we're doing, we know how much money is needed, and make sure that it's all waiting there for us.
Oh, that's really fantastic. So what prompted you to do this? I mean, you know, did you just one day say, you know, this is something I have to do, or this is something you've been thinking about for a long time?
I think part of this has been our involvement with Chakira, the journal that you mentioned before. And that is that, you know, we saw a need about 10 years ago when we started this to really have a periodical that addresses the more I guess, in a sense, practical Haredim, but also in a sense, even those Haredim who are more interested in really delving deeper into topics on Jewish halacha, Jewish thought, and really a place to do this and do it in a journal that's a bit more open to new thoughts. Okay, so of course Orthodox, but really, you know, open to a variety of thoughts within Orthodoxy, and that is something that we've been successful about, and you know, the fact that we're able to even print an article like this is, you know, due to that. So as an outgrowth of this, we said, okay, we've been successful in doing this organization. We reach thousands of people now with our periodical and online. So let's take this a step further and really reach out and you know, do something that benefits our community and the state of Israel.
Right. Now, is this going to go, by the way, beyond the greater New York metropolitan area? I mean, to the other, you know, the Chicago's and the L.A.'s, et cetera?
I sure hope so, but I think the place where we want to start is really our hometown. You know, we call our journal the Flappish Journal, Hakeru Flappish Journal of Jewish Law and Thought, and that was sort of our starting place. Now we became an international periodical, and I think we want to do the same with this organization as well, and that is like start in a hometown, Flappish within Brooklyn, and garner support there, and then once we've set up a successful model to hopefully spread this to other areas as well.
Right, and I think you say it right when you're in the article that you wrote, which is very well done, by the way. In the end, you say, in your conclusions, you say, in winning the demographic war, Orthodoxy will no longer have the luxury of focusing on itself. It will need to assume a leading role in support of the Jewish state. And I think you're right on. When I see that, I think you're right on that if we can't do this ourselves, we have to find ways of making sure that in the Torah world that Israel is being supported. That's why I asked you about whether you really feel it's important. Because I personally feel also, by the way, and I am a big, big supporter and big fan of what you're doing, actually. I think it's fantastic.
Thank you.
But I also think that we have to try and find ways of taking people in the Torah world. And I don't want descriptions of, you know, what is somebody, modern Orthodox, who knows? I don't understand any of that. But people in the Torah world and getting them more involved in the Apex, getting them involved in the B'nai B'rith's organizations and the you know, AJCs and the Highest and all the organizations that are out there, we have to become much more prominent and we have to become important if we're going to be a relevant organization, because we can't rely on anyone else to try to really help us.
Absolutely.
But it's really great. So if people are interested in perhaps, you know, finding out more or getting involved, how would they contact you?
They can contact me through Hakira, or I'll be glad to give you, my own email address.
Okay, why don't you just give us maybe the Hakira address,
okay,
or whatever.
So people, Hakira Flappish, Hakirah Flappish at msn.com. And that will get to me.
Great. Okay, well, that's wonderful. Listen, I just think there may be people who are going to be listening. We have, really, thank God, many, many, many listeners on the program. And I think that for some of them, this might be something that would like to get involved in. I know I certainly would, and you certainly hope you keep me in mind and let me know, because I think it's a really important issue. Well, listen, thank you so
Great.
Much
thank
for being
you.
On the program, and thank you for writing a beautiful article.
Thanks.
And I hope the organization really takes off. We really could use it. Thank you so much. Okay?
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity.
My
All the
pleasure.
Best.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.